You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crit or Die.
Bears love gaming.
Yeah, bears love it.
We do.
Yes, this is Kenny. Hello everybody.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I am a little excited. Yes, I'm just excited that we're all back together. Three bears.
Yes,
bears. Three bears. One room.
Three bears.
The sexiest video you never seen.
Yeah, I have with me Pedro. Hello, Pedro.
Hi, Kenny.
Hello. Are you gonna be whispering the whole time?
Not the whole time. Just this time. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to play.
Yeah, because you're gonna be fucking.
I'm being very, very seductive right now, or attempting to be seductive. I got this blue ball in my mouth, and I'm gonna talk into it just like one big.
All right. All right. Awesome. Awesome. And of course, I talked to Space Bear. So now we got to go back to my nightmares. Terror Bear.
Terror Bear.
Hello, Terror Bear.
Hello, this is Terror Bear. How are we doing today?
Ah.
I'm gonna talk like
we're all wrong characters.
No,
I'm
yeah.
Whispering in your.
I'm speaking into a big jaunty. Black ball.
There, ooh.
Ooh, big black ball.
Yeah.
It's hard. I got a yellow ball. I don't know what that means.
It means you're blowing a Simpson.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So how you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm balls deep back into Fallout 4 again.
Oh, very nice.
Which is going to be a mistake. I picked right. up. I traded it in. I got off the horse, and then there was a sale for $30 for the game of the year version with all the DLC. So there's nothing for me to play until like June, and even then I'm kind of worried about that game in June. So like I started replaying the Dragon Age series, and then I saw that on sale, and yeah. I was like, maybe I should go visit that part of town again. And
game you can I go back to that game all the time.
It's
like it's just fun to.
It's just for me. I love building the goddamn settlements.
Right.
I love building the settlements. I love wandering. That's why I never jumped on to Fallout 76. Fallout and Skyrim are supposed to be lonely experiences that you play by yourself as you're looking through a fucking world. Like it's not supposed
meeting,
to be.
And meeting a bunch of people that would have been great adventurers, but they got an arrow to the knee.
there's a lot of guards that seem to. There was like a knee arrow academic.
I really did not like Fallout 76. I picked it up. I got it for Christmas. Thanta brought it for me, and I played it for like a week, and I was like, no.
Well, it's just that there's no NPCs in it.
Yeah,
I was like, what? But wait a minute, Fallout is known for its NPCs.
Right.
Like that's fucking stupid. That is a terrible fucking decision. So I'm just gonna go back and I'm gonna play the good one.
Yeah,
no, it's
and add mods to it too.
Right.
So it's gonna get fucking weird.
It's the total opposite of No Man's Sky.
It's every man's sky.
Every man's sky.
Well, but here's the even more fucked up part. It's like, okay, so you want to run like an instance kind of fucking game. You want to have your type of fucking live service. You want to have your Anthem. You want to have your Division. But you can only have like four or five people in an instance at a time or something like that.
Right,
it's like
right,
some
right,
stupid
right.
low count. Like, no, fuck that. Fuck
well,
you.
I picked up the Division 2. I actually got the special edition, so I've been playing it since when we're recording on the Thursday. I picked it up on Tuesday. It goes to live to the public tomorrow. It's only four players at a time, but they have end game instances that are eight.
Yeah. I know there's stuff like later on when you go into the dark zone and that you have to you go in to these areas, you go and you find loot and you have to extract it. And I know while you're extracting it, you could be attacked.
Correct.
So you're saying there's only four other people while you're extracting?
So your squad is four players.
Yeah.
So you four of you can go
you
in.
You roll out in fours.
Yeah, you go in into the dark zone, but it's a PvP. It's strictly PvP.
Yeah.
So if you're not in there, you're not PvP.
Yeah.
So you can get whichever experience you want.
Really smart, by the way. The good way to kind of separate your PvE and PvP. Just like, all right, just don't go in the dark zone. You're fine.
Right, exactly. And they've actually got two different. They have a east dark zone and a west dark zone now, which if I remember, it's been so long since I played the first Division, I only remember there being one large.
I think there was one
large dark zone. Now there's an east dark zone and a west dark zone.
Okay.
And so it's going to be divided, the amount of people that are. But yeah, you if you find loot, you have to decontaminate it.
Yeah.
So you get a helicopter called in and you have like a minute before it arrives. But everybody else then gets told, hey, there's a helicopter coming. And they literally just drop a rope and you tie your bag to it. And once the bag's on there, if you get shot, it doesn't matter. Your
once
bag's
it,
on
once, there. Once it is connected to the helicopter, you're straight.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good game, though. I mean, so far I like it. The one of the big issues I had with the first one was there wasn't as many missions as there should be. So you could breeze right through it. But like this one, there's a ton of missions right off the bat. Side missions, Shade, which is the currency, Shade caches all throughout that are unlocked so you can go.
Okay.
I like it. There's like public executions you come across that you have to stop.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it so far, but it's weird. Like I have a friend of mine that he only plays on evenings because he has a job during the day.
He has a life. Yeah.
But yeah, but by yesterday he was already at level 14 and there's 30 levels.
Oh wow.
Oh, you so go up to level 30.
Man,
it's either he's grinding.
Right.
Or this is they built it so that you just get through this.
It's possible.
I think it's more of the end game.
Yeah.
Is what their big focus is, that 8-person raid.
Oh
that,
yeah, no, for sure. All of these live games, their big thing is always end game. It's always like everything is the means until you get to the end and do your big raid at the very end. Like that's how Destiny's been doing it, and every single one. I don't know about Fallout having one, and I know that I don't think Anthem has one either, which is really fucking weird.
My buddy, Paul's, he's the only one of my, him and my other friend are the only two people that I know that got Anthem. He loves it. He says that he doesn't get the hate for the game, that he enjoys it, that the end game, like he said that the last boss fight was kind of disappointing for the main story because it was really unsatisfying. How it plays out.
See, and I haven't, I'm going to preface this, I haven't played Anthem. I really have no interest in Anthem. But literally, every person that I know that has played a BioWare game, you play BioWare for a fucking story, for characters.
Right.
What's the thing that they skimped out in on the most in Anthem?
Story.
Story and characters.
Right.
Well, but Anthem was made to be just strictly just multi.
Yeah.
Just
and the other problem is that BioWare doesn't do good shooting. They never have. The best shooting they ever did was Mass Effect Andromeda, and that game was a fucking disaster.
Right.
I still liked it. It was the disaster, but that was the most competent shooting they ever did, and granted that was their C team working on that, but even their A team, I don't know how they would have pulled that off.
It's interesting because you would think that. Well, then again, that's the whole point. Like these companies realize that they have to make money. They can't just be niche. They can't close themselves off to being a certain type of game.
Well, that's EA straight up. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Forcing them to make that game.
Yeah, that's the thing is that they're like, we need you. We need you to make. We need you. It needs to cross all barriers. But whatever. I mean,
as long as it doesn't close BioWare, so I can get at least one more Dragon Age game.
Oh, good luck.
Just give me one more Dragon Age. Yo, and I swear to God, if they fucking find a way to make Dragon Age into a live, like, that's it. I am done with that fucking company. That's it. No.
I'll tell you this, Anthem, I played the beta, and it was just kind of cool. The whole pull of it is your Iron Man.
Yeah.
And, like, even the special ability that you get in the beta is, when, you know, in the movie when he shoots all those little mini rockets.
Yeah.
Like, that's your special in the game, in the beta. Like, he's standing there, you see the things open on the shoulders.
And
it's just like Stinger missiles all bombarding, you know. It's fun flying around. Like, it's cool because you're literally doing the Iron Man, just booster rockets flying around. You can, but then, again, you're shooting from a gun that you're holding. It's not from the suit.
Oh, that's fucked
up. Okay,
that.
So you do all of that and just so that you end up having to use a handheld weapon.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give him the break on that straight up because, like, okay, it's the first time they're ever working on something like this. But man, oh man, just I hope it doesn't shutter that
like,
goddamn
studio.
Like, I
wish it would be suit upgrades.
Yeah.
Hey, look, now I have a blaster cannon on my hand, or now I have this on this arm. Or
they might still do it. I mean, they have
they
the chance to
sell loot boxes somehow. Yeah.
They have to do. They'll make patches. They'll make those DLCs. I mean, you know, to me, if the people had so much hate for Anthem before it even came out that it just turned me off to even wanting to play it.
Well, I mean, then they fucked up, and then they decided EA decided like, oh, we're gonna put out a superior fucking. Well, I will say that I was against its release because they're using the Titanfall name, and that's basically not, it's not a Titanfall game.
Right.
The Apex Legends.
Oh.
But people are playing that.
People
though.
Are
a lot of fucking people are playing
it. A lot of people are playing it. A lot of people are actually really enjoying it, even though like it's not, it's kind of a misnomer calling it a Titanfall game. They're talking about maybe adding in some of the wall running and the Titans later on, but, and it's making money hand over fucking fist, and it's free.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they released it the week before Anthem came out. You want to talk about fucking your own game?
Yeah.
Like, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of speaking of free games that are coming out really soon, Niantic, as we're recording today, has released their first little bit of information for the new Harry Potter mobile game. That is, if you anybody's played Pokemon Go, it's Pokemon Go in the Wizarding
World. Wizard Go?
I started playing the Walking Dead one.
Really? I don't know, man.
I just played it a lot.
You showed it to me.
You're like, and I kind of.
You
like,
showed it to me, and
I
and,
did, but I stopped.
And it was like, I don't know. Like with Pokemon Go, it was I played it for a month. Quills, Pedro, I believe you played.
Oh
with
yeah,
us.
I played it with you guys.
Yeah, we all played for literally 30 days straight, and then we're like, yeah, we're done with this.
I have people that are still playing it, and they like literally are driving to places.
I know a lot of people
to do you know battles and to find stuff.
Now it actually has all the shit it should have had when it fucking started. Now you can trade. Now you can do individual battles, and like all the things that make it a fucking Pokemon game.
Now
are
they
there.
Yeah, right. But now that's why Niantic is going to do so well with the Harry Potter game, because now all of those features are going to be added into the first release of Harry Potter.
No, they'll do the same thing to a Pokemon. They won't have enough servers. Everything's going to crash. Nothing's going to work for a month. And then 3 months later, they'll get everything stabilized. And they'll have only a third of the people they started out with. But that third will be able to float them.
That's all right. As long as I have a Boggit that I can attack with somebody, it's fine. But along with that, so we went into some news. But actually, you know, I actually want to get into a couple of these games that we were just
yes.
playing.
Yeah.
Not only were we just playing, these two games just happen to be the Kickstarter games that I talked about earlier towards the end of last year that I was waiting for. These two games are Combo Fighter, and the other is Doomsday Bots, which both of these games are completely,
yeah.
like, they're off so, the different set.
If you spectrum. Look at them kind of askance, you might think that there have some might be some sort of similar, but
right.
no.
Small boxes, both card games.
Yeah.
Yeah, both card games. Here's the thing. One of them is straight up the way this game, the first one we're going to talk about, which is Combo Fighter.
By Colossal.
Technically, it is. You can play up to four players, but the actual starter pack is a one-on-one scenario, PvP. And what Combo Fighter, what Combo Fighter pretty much creators, Colossal Games is the creator of this, of the actual game here, the card game. It is, if you think about it, a arcade game brought to life in card form.
It's the like an approximation of something like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, just think of it as Street Fighter. Pedro even commented when we first started playing that the two characters in the starter pack are, you know, for lack of a better term, knockoffs of certain characters in a very famous...
It's Samoan E. Honda and Ginger Chun-Li.
Right? So that's pretty much the game. The way it works is you pick a fighter and you fight against each other or fight against in a battle royale. You have a deck. It's a deck that's pre-created. Essentially, the mechanic, the way that the fights are just, and I've been corrected in the pronunciation of this, is rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Even
what
though
was the other
I say
rock, scissors, paper.
Rock, scissors, paper.
That's the same diff.
Right? But I got chastised by Terror Bear because I said it the wrong way.
How fucking dare you? That's right. Not the way you say it.
So pretty much, there's three types of cards in your deck. There are attack cards, there are defense cards, and there's footwork cards. So it's red, blue, yellow. That's how they're designated. And this is rock, paper, scissors because it is red beats yellow, yellow beats blue beats red.
Yeah.
Okay, so pretty much you pick a random card. You pick a card from your hand that you're playing against somebody. You reveal it at the same time. Whoever wins that actual throwdown of war, that person then gets to add on, quote unquote, combo off of their move, and the combo comes from cards that are in your hand, and they match up with those cards that you play. Damage gets added up. the way you deal damage is you force the opponent to either discard cards from their hand and or library from their deck in order to compensate for those damage. So if you get dealt 10 damage, you take off 10 cards.
Discard 10 cards, yeah.
Or discard 10 cards. Now, that's pretty much your life. Your life is the deck. It takes you all the way down to the end where you get into stagger, which means that one more hit and you're done. So it feels a lot like a card game because it's really just back and forth.
Yeah.
It's a very fast game.
Yeah, I actually really thought that they did a really good job of like kind of making it feel like a fighting game. It sort of has the setup of like every round you start, you make your first swing, and depending on where it ends up on the rock, paper, scissors is, or like you'll pop up, like quote unquote pop up your opponent, and then you follow up with whatever combo or special moves. And I thought that was actually like a pretty clever way to kind of replicate that, and very simple to understand. I got it pretty fast. I think all of us got it like pretty, like there wasn't really that many complications with it, and
no.
The games were less than 10 minutes.
And the thing is that each character has a specialized power that allows certain moves. Like every player, every fighter comes with its own move set. And if you do a certain move set, it deals extra damage. Like for instance, you got Stomp, who is the Samoan E Honda that has Samoan War Dance. That if you do that combination of cards, it does an added ability on top of what you were playing. It's a fast game. Like it's between 10 to 15 minutes once you know how to play.
Yeah. My only issue with it is that this is the starter pack. You only get the two characters.
That's
And it definitely doesn't feel like with the two characters that you really can get a lot of replay value.
You don't tell me on the box that it's 1 to 4 players and only give me enough stuff for have 2 players.
Yeah. That's
like,
a little...
Because that to me, that's idiotic. Like that's really... That's messed up because it's false. It's kind of false advertising because you're saying 4 people can play it, but you got to give us more money so that 4 people can play it.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't list it on the front. Yeah, that's a little.
Has it right on the box?
Yeah, well, no, I was seeing if there was something on the front of the box.
And that's the thing is that I know that this is a Kickstarter, so this was a starter. So I guess it's a 1-on-1 starter pack. I know that Colossal Games also sells this as a 4 pack, as a 6, and as an 8. So it has the different fighters you can choose from.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, again, the really, I'm not going to fault them too much because when I saw this, I just went for the first one that they had, which was the starter pack.
I mean, for what would this be, about $10?
It was $10.
That's not bad. For a $10 experience, it's not too mind-breaking. This is definitely, it could be a nice little distraction. Don't see how this would be very portable. It's not a very good portable kind of thing because you got to lug around both of the decks. But I could see this as being something to kill maybe like a couple rounds while you're waiting for dinner to come in or something like that. Like it could be fun for a little amount of time.
It's a fixed card game. It's not like there's expansions yet or anything like that where you can add to these decks. So it's not like you can customize them to make them your own. So they're all set maneuvers. I mean, and I'm looking over at Jeff because Jeff has been, other than that one part, he's been
very quiet. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you want to wait till the review, the score, but because.
Well, no, let's go into the score then. Go right ahead, sir.
I'm probably going to give it like a 3.5.
Ooh.
I played it twice. I won once and I lost once. And I don't see, I don't feel the interest to want to play it again.
Right.
Oh, okay. I get you.
It's
especially as is.
It does bother me that they're advertising. I get it that it's a starter thing, but then don't put 1 to 4 players on the box if it's only that. A lot of games will tell you it's 1 to 2 players, and then there'll be expansion cards that says now this can make it up to 3 or this.
Right,
can make
it
can up
say
to 4.
This 1 to 2 buy more for
right
more players. Yeah.
It seemed on the two games we played the sumo. I mean, the first game I played with Kenny. It was to the last draw that we
right
ended up winning. But like in the second game with Pedro, he wiped the floor with me on it. And it was always with the sumo. The sumo won both matches.
Yeah, the characters are, you can tell by looking at the characters that they make them, depending on what kind of character it is, how heavy. Like for instance, the Ginger Chun Li. She's heavy attack. So the majority of her cards in her deck are all red.
I see how it works too because her things are supposed to be like pop them up and a lot of the combos kind of go long for doing stuff.
My problem with that is that's one of the other issues I have is with the starter deck. you basically put her up against a person that has way more of the color that will beat the majority of, because like 90% of her deck is red. Because the way that it works is the red, blue, and yellow. Red beats yellow. Yellow beats blue. Blue beats red. 90% of her deck is red.
Mm.
And then the majority of his deck, or almost the majority of his deck, is blue.
Well, no,
which is about 60% of his deck is
his
blue.
His is pretty even. His has an even split, but she has so few of the other colors
right.
that like even his even split is more than enough to be able
you
to
could
break
just,
it.
You could just play blue every time, and you're probably going to beat...
Well, that's the thing. That's yeah. the odds of having that. Because, and again, this is one of those where, yeah, it's. But that's why it kind of feels like playing in an arcade in that sense. Because, for instance, I like playing with Zangief.
Mm-hmm.
Zangief is not Sonic Booming anybody anytime soon, so you know that I have to be close up. Like, there's no way that ifs, ands, or buts. You play with this fighter. This fighter is you have to pick and choose your battles, because with her, yeah, the majority of her are red cards, but then a lot of her combos work together with all those red cards. Like with her, once she connects, she deals massive damage on a scale.
If she can get, because you nailed me for like a fifth of my deck with one combo, but unfortunately it was like one of the only times we were able to
right.
connect with
him. And the thing is, don't you think then that there should be, instead of him being evenly balanced, if he's a big sumo, he shouldn't have as much agility
mm-hmm.
as her.
Yeah.
So she has a lot of striking.
Well, he has a lot. Well, yeah, I get you.
His whole deck is even. The number of cards he's got.
For the most part, yeah.
He's got pretty much an even split. I mean, I'd probably play this if we were going to demo it to somebody to show them to see how, because I'm not one to ever tell somebody not to try a game out. Except apparently you guys in Resident Evil. But
don't worry, we're going to do it one day.
Oh, no. You should try Resident Evil. You should do
it. But yeah, dude, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I have to see what the other characters are, see what's going on. But like, if I just bought this, even though it's $10, so for $10, it's... But I mean, I've had $10 games that... Like, Love Letter's like a $10 game.
Sushi Go
is a $10 game, which is fucking fantastic.
See, but that's the thing, is that like, when you try to compare... Because this is supposed to be one of those short... This is a short form game, so this is one of those that you're like, oh, I got a few minutes to just play and get it out the way. I love the concept. I'm gonna piggyback. I'm not gonna go as low as you. Okay, this to me is not Settlers of Catan, but it is not great. It's okay. I will give it a 5 flat even, and I'll say that this has promise, or it had promise. All I know is that maybe if I play with more people, maybe
right.
if this is a battle royale where you have 3 or 4 people playing,
just had different decks.
All of a sudden now it could be one of those things where if everybody attacks everybody at the same time, what lands? That right. would be interesting. Yeah, but a one-on-one probably not a good suit. Like, even though that makes sense for Combo Fighter, it probably wouldn't work for the style of this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a 4.5. I'm going with 4.5. Like the concept works, which is what I was kind of okay with. The concept works. I can see how this can work, but the two players that they have there, like Jeff was saying, are not balanced enough to be a good example of how to play the game.
Right.
And yeah, that does really suck. Having looking at the back. Yeah, it says 1 to 4 players, 2 characters. Yeah, this doesn't feel like it's very well designed to be able to tell you. And they should have either more options, or they should have done a better job packing. Like, they should have had 2 striking characters going at it, two grappling characters going at it, just to try to balance it out a little bit more. So I think it has, like Kenny was saying, it has the potential to work, but it needs to be better balanced. And or they need to choose better people to be facing each other in each of these combo fighter decks.
And now that I look at this kind of is I think they may have messed up on the packaging, because it says here 1 to 4 players,
right?
Which means that a person can play by themselves.
Well,
I mean, you
always can play with yourself.
Yeah. You know,
whether or not
does
you
that
enjoy
mean
it.
That you would have to make that deck randomly pick a card, and then you would have to then some, I don't know, anyway. But yeah, so 3.5, 4.5, 5. I can already see that this is probably a game that I may not play again unless somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, I have other fighters.
Exactly. If somebody came up with other fighters, I'd be willing to play it. I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Especially just to try it out with more group, with a group.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, if somebody came over where we're having an event and wanted to play it, I'd be fine with it. I'd be like, yeah, sure. Right. No, it would. It's a nice way to kill 10
I wouldn't
minutes.
Go out of my way to play.
Yes.
Oh, guys, congratulations. This is the first time in a long time we've ever chat on an actual game.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to be real, man.
You're an easy to please man, so.
Yeah, so the fact that you're not pleased means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of easy to please, this the next game I was so excited for only because of one part of the game, if nothing else. The game I'm talking about, the second game, which is Doomsday Bots. Doomsday Bots, this was done by Digisprite, Digisprite Limited, another Kickstarter game. Doomsday Bots, I'll tell you what the premise is, which is the reason why I invested in getting this game, was you are a mad scientist, along with every other player. You create your bot, your Doomsday Bot, to then attack another mad genius who lives on a tower. You destroy his creation, take the loot, which is this item that he was creating, and take it back to your lair. That's the point of the game. It is a drafting, bot-building, tile-based game. Drafting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got to me. The mechanic of the game is you start off the game by drafting the pieces, the parts that you can use to make your bot. And you do that by the beginning of the game. If anybody's ever played Magic, it's booster draft style. You get cards in your hand, you choose one, pass it on to the next person, and you keep drawing until there's no cards left over. And from there, you build your bot. And from your bot, you then go and you start climbing the tower little by little, going to each room before you can go ahead and fight the big baddie. I'll tell you, my bot, I'll tell you right now, when we were creating this, we had no idea what cards were good. We had no idea what cards would help us out. We found out really late that my second bot that I created was much better than my first bot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It might have been a little bit different. The game might have run a little bit different if you had... some of those parts.
Yeah, and every part has stats. Every part allows you to set up certain functions. It gives you certain features. You have abilities that your bot has.
Yeah.
And you use certain energy that is very limited in the game, so you have to worry about when is it that you use energy. One of the funniest parts of this game is that when your bot dies, it doesn't really die. It sheds parts.
Right.
Until it can't move anymore, and then you would just have to rebuild another one and then keep going.
So you could be a torso walking through because that's the only part left of your...
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because I think at one point Jeff's character was just a torso.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but...
I mean, yeah, it's a cool game. Like, I love... I hadn't noticed the packaging and this photo that it has on the front with just the mad scientist pointing this guy's magnet stuck on the floor and, like... They're all running towards the tower.
It's go, 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 go,
yeah,
go.
I think it's really cool. It was interesting, the drafting. I like those types of games, like Sushi Go. Like I like those drafting type style games. The bots, it was funny because we were fighting because I wanted the Bender looking one. Like they have like the Fembot, which, you know, Pedro quickly.
Straight up, give me that, you know, Fembot.
But it's the different pieces and the idea that when you lose the piece, it doesn't go away. It gets dropped in whatever room you're in. And every room that you go into, you have to pass a test on a dice roll. It's a D20 that you use based on your color. And, you know, it was when we looked at all the loot that you could get from the boss.
Yo, there's some of those loot is some shit. Crazy fucking shit. Like,
when we played, the loot I took was, because I was the one that came in and snuck in and got the last kill on the boss to get the loot. And it was a dice collector. So I roll, every time I roll D20s, I'd roll two and kept the higher score.
And the funny thing is that, like, that definitely does seem like it was strong, but ultimately,
yeah,
you would have been better served some of the more aggressive ones on there,
yeah,
are pretty fucking nasty. Yeah. Like letting you like attack from, because normally when you can contest and fight another bot if either in adjacent rooms or direct rooms, depending
on
your abilities.
Well, it all depends
on,
yeah,
if you have ranged
items. If you have ranged weapon, that the most...
Some of them give you infinite range, which I think is insane. Some of them have like instant death lasers. Like there's
like
some
the boss,
crazy...
Yeah, some of the boss loot, they call it boss loot. Whenever you defeat the main baddie's robot, which for us, it was the rusted one, which was the Kickstarter version that they created. Like, that's like the anybody that buys a Kickstarter gets this specific card.
That's kind of a broken fucking...
Yeah, and he's hard as shit to beat. And when you do beat him, you choose any loot. Normally, you get a random... You have to choose one from a random from three that were randomly picked. This particular bot, when you beat it, allows you to choose any from the game.
Yeah.
And there's one, like Pedro was saying, that there's infinite range, so meaning that you can be on one end of the tower and you can start attacking other people from the other end.
There was one that was awesome. Yeah, there was one when you die, if you explode and are destroyed, any bot that's in your space gets destroyed too.
That is amazing.
It's pretty amusing, yeah.
That is amazing.
It's a cool... I like the concept. I can see where... We only played it with three people and you can play up to four. And it gives you four bots to play up
enough,
to four.
Enough.
Yeah. It gives you enough.
It also gives you enough parts to make four bots.
Oh, would you look at that.
And what a concept when it's on the box. Yeah. and, you know, we... But it was crazy with three of us to try to get out of there.
And I don't think crazy in a good way. I think really the first... I'm not really big on a lot of the drafting games. That's never... I love drafting Magic, but like drafting more limited stuff that's never really had a particular interest for me. But it was interesting kind of building your bot, and I did like that. The strategy of like, all right, well, now I got to try to figure out what the fuck to kind of get going and get this thing put together. But definitely the end game, like... Yeah, I wasn't really enjoying the end game. It ends up turning into a clusterfuck where at some point you just all end up in the same room,
right.
Literally spending turns just contesting and rolling over and over again until somebody runs out of cards. And that's kind of a problem.
And that's the thing. The game has to have there has to be something where it... I guess it's because of the amount of people, because we had three and you can have four. I think maybe if there was four people, maybe this game would have accelerated at least the first part, because the way the game works...
Maybe the first part, but not the second part.
Yeah, because the way the game works is after you beat the baddies bot, you get that boss loot, and the point of the game is to take that boss loot and take it out. It doesn't mean... Just because you're the one that got it doesn't mean that you end up having to be the last person. As long as you're the last person to have it, when you leave, you're fine.
Well, the other thing, too, that can be particularly... like. The dickheaded move that I was going to try to go for is you can hold two consumables. So while you're drafting, there's one item that lets you switch place with any bot. So
yeah, I had one too, yeah.
Yeah, so literally I was just waiting for either to grab the loot and just post up in the room and defend myself. And then when one of the other players blew up and entered, just switch places with them and then fucking leave.
Right.
That would have been smart. That's a smart move.
It was funny to use that defensively to keep Jeff from winning at a certain point. It's got the fun kind of screwing over part, but
right.
It's kind of inevitable. You're just going to get to the point where you have, again, multiple people in one room just swinging at each other. And yeah, I wasn't really big on that.
It's telling that we ended up, Kenny just kind of made a move just so that Pedro could win and we could finish the game.
Yeah, it would have taken like another 15, 20 minutes
And for myself to do that.
Right. You gave Pedro the win.
It tells you a lot. The other thing that although I love the design, the box design, the cards itself, and the actual, what, you know, the moveset, the mechanics are cool. One thing that I didn't like was the fact that all of these cards have the same backing to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It makes it difficult to kind of post when you're done or setting
up. Which is fine for when you're drafting cards, so you can't tell which ones. But it also is a hinder. Like, and again, that's also a little bit of a nitpicking, especially when you're trying to separate cards that are for the tiles for the tower. And for the bosses, and then the stuff like that.
No, that's not a nitpick. I think that's actually a pretty that's a standard, because most other games do that. Most other games will have the separate backs,
even a different color.
Yeah, if it was the same design,
you could keep the same background.
Yeah,
keep same background, different color would work, because that would force someone to end up getting what do you call protectors
a room.
Or sleeves.
Yeah,
and which then would cover the actual design, which is what I wouldn't want to happen. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with the rating with this. I will give this a 6. This is the first time I'm ever going to do this. 6.5. I'm giving this a half. I give it a little bit more only because I enjoyed the design. I enjoyed playing this. The draft feature with it, I enjoy that, because not too many games that you know, I don't have too many games like that. And it, again, I love playing Magic, so this, it always brings me back to that. Again, it's that ending. It's just that ending needs to be fine-tuned. There's got to be a way where you can just tweak it and say, you know what, if we're getting to this point, there's got to be a way to remove the bogging down that was happening towards the end of the game where we were all in the same room and we're all fighting each other and it's just taking forever. You know,
just a fucking hysterical image of all these robots just like gangbanging each other in a room, of hitting each other, whatever parts are fucking left.
Yeah, and piles of parts are everywhere in the room. And on here on the box it says 30 to 60 minutes. That is true to form.
Yeah. No, it was probably going to be 60 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm going to follow suit with Kenny. I was going to give it a lower score, but as we've been talking about it, I do appreciate the design. The design of it, I like enough of the aspects to give it a 6. I was going to kind of give it a 5, but I think I talked myself into giving it a little bit higher just for pure panache. But it needs a lot of design work. Or not a lot, it doesn't need a lot of design work, but it needs to kind of retool its the second half, and they need to change mark the different the cards from the different things to keep everything separated. Like that's. I mean, everybody does that. That's a little bit of an oversight.
Yeah, I'm actually going with you. That's what I had in my head was 6. I enjoyed it. It was fun to play. But yeah, that second half of it where the first half you really didn't do a lot, even though I think you attacked Kenny once in the second half, in the first half.
Yeah, that was just to test out the fighting.
Right.
Right. And the thing is that the fighting, it's picking spots on whether to fight the other person, whether to fight bots. I know that it's supposed to be there for the fuckery. But you end up having to need, like, it's to the point that you have to choose whether you fight early so that you force your other players or yourself to start losing parts and you're right. Now a torso. Because, yeah, you can rebuild when you lose it, but you only have a certain amount of cards. So if
you run out of cards, I assume that you're out of the game.
That's it. What can you build?
That's what I wondered.
You know what I mean? Like you're just going to have legs. It's just legs. Guys, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming.
But yeah, it's that second part that's just really, really tough. I would play this again. I would try this again and see how it would be with a fourth person.
Yeah, maybe it'll change my mind if there's four people playing. The other thing about this also is that the tower that's created, we did the tower how it was shown on the instructional manual, which was two piles of 5 cards each to make the tower. On there, they said that if you'd like to, you can design the tower however you would like.
And I kind of like that. I mean, that gives you an extra bit of flexibility, right. And you can change the difficulty. And I think that that's also another reason why I kept that at 6. Whereas I'm like, there are some good ideas here. It just needs a little bit of refinement on the end of it. And I think if you have 4 players, you definitely need at least 3 paths because. Oh my God! 4 players on 2 paths is just going to be a clusterfuck of just rockets
for
and
sure.
Fucking fists.
One other thing that I thought of right now, one thing that I liked and I didn't like is if you're getting attacked and you're being defend, whether it's ranged or in the same space, the defender doesn't lose an item. I think that if you're in the same space, if you succeed in the defense, the attacker should lose an item because you're basically stopping their attack. So
yeah.
But if it's ranged, okay, fine. The defender just doesn't lose anything.
There kind of isn't a bonus really for attacking from a distance. The only bonus you get is just being able to take another swipe at somebody, but there should be more tangible bonuses for being able to escape hand-to-hand combat.
I mean, I can see why, because every time that you go into a room, every time that you go up the tower or move to the tower, whichever way, it has a certain encounter number that you have to beat. If not, then you take a damage. So if you start chipping away at somebody, even if they're going to come towards you to get the loot, the fact that they're losing pieces makes it harder for them to come towards you. So I could see why doing range helps, especially if you have infinite range. You can literally just every turn move one step,
stay in the same spot.
Yeah.
I mean, you can unleash fucking holy hell.
But yeah, because you could just sit there and just chip away at everybody's armor, and then if they run out of cards, that's it.
Yeah.
But like, I think that might speed up the end game. If you're in close combat and you're an attacker and you lose a piece of your armor.
You know, but that's why I enjoy. That's why the term house rules usually work because. Just like everybody else, I don't know anybody that plays Uno. I don't know what the original rules are for Uno. I know what the house rules are for Uno. So, you know, that's if you want, just make a house rule. And you never know. Maybe down the line, Doomsday Box will actually come up with a errata or an FAQ to change that up. But yeah, honestly, you know what? I'll tell you the truth, guys. I was expecting a little bit more from these games. I'm happy to play them. They're Kickstarters. I love to contribute to indie games.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good. It's good that people are making stuff, and a lot of times people need the practice to make stuff, and sometimes it's not great on the first crack, but maybe the second time they do it, it'll be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, I mean, honestly, if you guys have played any of these games, Combo Fighter, Doomsday Bots, and you do not agree with us, please let us know. Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We're right now, you know, of course, we're with the Talking Geek podcast. Again, this is Crit or Die. Sometime in the future, Crit or Die may even have its own Instagram. So if anything, just look for Crit or Die. And then
you'll find us one day.
One day. Yeah. Tell us some stuff. If not, email us. Let us know. Comment.
Smoke signal.
Smoke signal. Anything.
Shout out into the ether.
We're in the we'll grams. We're in all those social media.
Summon us.
You know, let us
make
know.
A pentacle in the ground. Sacrifice a baby. We'll actually hear you.
Yeah, you know, one of those things. One of those things.
Go on Twitter. Make a fucking sacrificing circle on Twitter. I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah, nice. they make little stars.
But yeah, let us know what you think of this game. Let us know if there's any games you want us to play, whether they're great or whether you think they're horrible and you want to hear us vent like we did today. If not, guys, until next time, thank you guys again so much.
Yeah, it's really...
For coming in.
It was a good time.
We're really. Landing. We're not at 7:37, so we're going to come blocks. In for a quiet landing.
We're not no, maybe crash. Not. Maybe not. Maybe we're just going to
No, we're going to bounce. We're going to bounce up. Bounce up, bounce up, and we're back in the sky. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we come
and
back.
And we're coming down. Back. Down. You know, it's not the Hudson River. We're not landing. Yeah.
It's not Sully. There's no Sully.
There's no Sully.
Tom Hanks is a great actor.
Yeah. And again, guys, I am the captain now.
He's a great actor.
I broke it. Sorry, guys.
I'm keeping that. Thank you.
That's very nice.
I'm sorry. I broke it. I messed it up.
Oh, no, well, guys,
that's worth it.
This has been another episode of Crit or Die. Bears love gaming. Until
Bears
next time,
Tom
guys.
Hanks, too.
Bears love Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is the best.
Sully's the best.
I am the captain.